Well, it's good to be with you here at this summer conference, and particularly to be here at Tabernacle Cardiff. We have many fond memories of the conferences in times past, and we have benefited often, and we have been blessed. We often pray for the church here, for Pastor Higham and Tabernacle Cardiff. May the Lord continue to bless you. We also often remember Alam Higham and the Welsh Chapel here in the afternoon, and may the Lord bless that work as well. Well, Pastor Higham, over a year ago, contacted me about speaking here at the conference, and I agreed to do so. And quickly, this theme came to my mind, trusting God in affliction. And also this psalm, a precious psalm, where we see the psalmist crying out to the Lord in the straits in which he faced. Well, this morning then, we consider this subject, trusting God in affliction. Let's come to the opening part of Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Dear congregation, the psalmist said in Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. And the psalmist had that sure belief that would not be taken from him. He had this great comfort that he would not be robbed of. The Lord was his, and the Lord was a lasting refuge for him and a mighty fortress. And as he considers the Lord and what he has done for him, and further his grace and never-failing mercy, he declares his trust he has in the Lord. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Dear brethren, as we consider the difficulties we are facing as a church in this nation, these are challenging days. And as you consider the personal afflictions that you face in your life, let us afresh this morning place our trust in the Lord. Make it known to others, as the psalmist did in Psalm 91, but then particularly make it known to the Lord. How the Lord delights to see his children looking to him and resting in him as they tread down the path of affliction. In Psalm 143, verse 9, we read, Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Precious words, aren't they? I flee unto thee to hide me. In the Daily Remembrancer, Pastor Smith wrote this, Let us flee to him in prayer, in faith, with hope for salvation, and he will receive us, shelter us, and be our refuge and strength. Dear brethren, this morning, whatever you are facing at this moment, flee right now to the Lord. I flee unto thee to hide me. He makes it known to the Lord what he is doing, and the Lord took note of it. Speak to the Lord in your affliction. Turn to him in prayer. Tell him what you are doing. I am fleeing to thee. I am trusting in thee. Make it known to him that you're making your way to him in this trial. Speak before him. Tell him that you are coming. I am coming, Lord. Dear brethren, he is our refuge. But as we shall see this morning, we can flee to him from another viewpoint. Look to him. Tell him that you are coming. I am coming, Lord. Is there anyone here without Christ? You suffer affliction. Oh, that you would go to the Lord. How can you get through life without the Lord? You need the Lord. Oh, that you would seek him now, that you would then know him to be such a comforter and friend. to help you through life, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, one that will support you. And so if you're without Christ, and as we consider the subject this morning, oh, that you would yet flee to the Lord. But we, dear brethren, let's keep fleeing to him. When the storm breaks, turn to your refuge and seek him earnestly. How we need help. I begin with myself. I feel so weak at times. How I need the Lord's help to flee to the refuge. The psalmist said in Psalm 61, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We know where we need to go, and we seek to go there, but we need the Lord's help. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And as you think of the future and the trials you will face, pray now. Lord, when I come to the next trial, lead me to the rock. Do not trust yourselves. We can be thankful, as we shall consider this morning, when the Lord brings us through a trial, maybe a particular trial. But look to the future and ask the Lord to help you, to flee to him in the next affliction. Now, in the opening part of this psalm, we see David placing his trust in the Lord. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be over pass. Now, in the title of this psalm, we note the occasion upon which David penned these words. David had been fleeing from Saul, and he had taken refuge in a cave. We believe it to be the cave of En-Gedi, 1 Samuel 24. Where there he is, he's in this difficult place. He's underground, and he pens this psalm. Spurgeon wrote, "This is a song from the bowels of the earth, and like Jonah's prayer, from the bottom of the sea, it has a taste of the place." We see him here. He's cast down to begin with. He looks to the Lord there in that cave. But do you notice, as we heard the psalm read early this morning, how his soul was lifted? And by the end of the psalm, he is so focused. He's resting in the Lord. And it's my prayer that by the end of this sermon, we might be so focused, resting in the Lord, desiring that the Lord would have the glory. Notice verse 11, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Well, as we come to these words this morning and this subject, trusting God in affliction, I'd like us to consider, first of all, trusting God in affliction. And then secondly, encouragements to trust God. And then thirdly, trusting God for the end of affliction. If time permits, we'll look at that. Trusting God for the end of affliction. Trusting God in affliction. Encouragements to trust God. And then thirdly, trusting God for the end of affliction. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. We've already considered the occasion upon which David penned these words. He's in the cave. He's in straits. You notice in verse 1, he speaks of the calamities, those calamities that were surrounding him. He was in trouble. There was wickedness around him. We can consider Saul. He was pursuing him. And there were many others who opposed him. And then consider further. He did not know the comforts of home, nor did he have the freedom he had once enjoyed. Well, here he is then. He's in straits. He's in great distress. He turns to his refuge. He turns to the Lord in prayer. He cries out, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me." And as he cries out, he exercises faith in the Lord. O dear brethren, turn to the Lord in your afflictions. Cry out to him. And as you do so, focus your eye upon him. You know, it's a great aid to prayer, isn't it? When we focus our eye on the Lord in prayer. Often to my shame, I begin prayer. And am I really considering the Lord? Well, it's a great aid to prayer, isn't it? To focus our eye on the Lord, to really consider him. Dear brethren in affliction, as you turn to him, focus your eye upon him. You know, it often puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? When we get there and we focus our eye upon him. Exercise faith, dear brethren. You need the Lord. Oh, turn to him. Look unto him. Yes, others can be a help to you. Godly Christians can come alongside you and be a support. Fellow ministers can do likewise. And you can seek their counsel and their support. But, oh dear congregation, be quick to turn to the Lord and pour out your heart to him. In Psalm 62, verse 8, we read, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." Think he is the refuge. Pause on that, as the psalmist did, and then pour out your heart. Go and commune with the Lord. There are many calamities around us. We face many trials, but we have one in heaven we can seek. Go and talk to him. Go and talk to your heavenly Father who has such a care for your soul. Just consider how he cares for us at this moment. And if you're in some affliction this morning hour, focus on him. He so cares for you. Well, turn to your heavenly Father who so cares for you. Go and talk to your all-compassionate high priest who is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And go and talk to the Holy Spirit who, in light of Romans 15, so loves your soul. Go and talk to him. Cry to him and trust him. Psalm 27, verse 7. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek." There he is. He's looking to the Lord. He's coming with a whole heart before him, and he's seeking his face and desiring mercy. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry." How amazing, dear brethren, the Lord is waiting for us in affliction. And he is there, and he will hear us. Who are we? We're so small in comparison to the Lord, yet we are the apple of his eye, and he is there, and he is waiting for us, and he will listen. And we can have that confidence, as we see in Psalm 66, that he will not turn away our prayer. When difficulties come, let your words or the thoughts or the groans of your heart go in God's direction. Pour out your heart before him. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." He's looking, he's trusting, and he's crying to the Lord. Tell it to him, dear brethren. If there's something upon your heart this morning, tell it to him now. And as you do so, trust him. Now in Psalm 62, verse 8, we read, "Trust in him at all times." And that implies, firstly, in every situation. Trust in him at all times. In every situation. And then in every trial or affliction. When things are going well, look to him, trust him, and give him the glory. And when things are difficult, trust him as well. What does the psalmist say? Trust in him at all times. Dear brethren, can I say this lovingly? We need to spend more of our time simply at the feet of Jesus. We need to spend more of our time trusting him. Trust in him at all times. Now, as the Lord's people, we find ourselves in a number of different situations and difficult situations on our journey here upon earth. And in every situation, it is so vital that we trust the Lord. And I'd like us for a few moments now to consider a number of different situations that we as the Lord's people may face here upon earth, in which it is vital that we trust the Lord. First of all, in the midst of our enemies, notice verse 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. David had his enemies, and they were so cruel to him. They spake against him in such a horrid and cruel way. He thinks of his enemies. He was surrounded, as we notice in verse 4. Dear brethren, we are surrounded by enemies in this country. There are so many who oppose Christ. They will not bow the knee. They oppose him. They say, we will not have this man to reign over us. They are the enemies of the cross. Therefore, we have many enemies. There are those that oppose us. How many plot against us? Dear brethren, the Lord has done great things for you here. Despite the plots of those around this city who desire to see this work come to conclusion. And in our own situations we come from, there are those who are plotting against us. And they can make themselves known to us. And they can speak so cruelly. How people can be so unkind. Maybe you're struggling in the workplace or in the community, and somebody is so unkind to you. They're always mocking you. They're always speaking against you. But when you consider your enemies, you love them. But oh, consider this here this morning. Trust the Lord when you're surrounded by your enemies. Dear brethren, turn to your sympathizing high priest. Remember, he faced much opposition, how he was cruelly spoken against. Turn to him. Dear brethren, you have a friend, as one of the Puritans said of old, in the court of heaven, making intercession for you. Turn to your friend. You feel oppressed by the enemy, turn to your friend in heaven. We can think also of our great enemy, Satan. How he fires darts at us. Turn to your friend in heaven who makes intercession, who will see you through. So then, firstly, in the midst of our enemies, trust the Lord. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Secondly, in the season of declension, in the season of declension, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. What days we are living in, things as a whole continue to decline. Look at the standards that are slipping in our nation, the laws that have been introduced in opposition to God's word. What things we have witnessed in the last few years in our nation. You here in England, what you have witnessed here, and we here in England and others in Ireland and Scotland, what we have witnessed, what is happening. It's a day of declension for this nation. But then also consider the church, the compromise, the confusion, the worldliness that is flooded in to many a congregation. And then consider the dwindling congregations. I know there are the exceptions, but we're living in a day generally when there are dwindling congregations. And how many ministers so feel it? They see people come, and they're encouraged, but then they see people go. And the congregation seems to get smaller. And many of us can be burdened here this morning, ministers of the gospel. At times we are burdened by this. These are challenging days for the church. What are we to do? We are to turn again and again to the Lord in earnest prayer. How we need to pray for revival. Can I encourage that this morning? Meet together to pray for revival. And as you pray, believe that God will revive. We mourn over the state of the church. How we need to humble ourselves. In 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 we read, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." How we need to mourn over the sins of this nation. How we need to mourn over the sins of the church. How we need to mourn over the sins in our own lives. We make up the church, don't we, dear brethren? We need to humble ourselves and seek forgiveness. But consider this further this morning, how we need to trust God in this day of declension. He is sovereign. He's working his purposes out. Trust him, dear brethren. Trust the one that said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Trust the one who inspired David to write, "All the ends of the earth shall turn unto the Lord." Trust him. Dear brethren, he is working his purposes out. He will turn again to us. He will bless us. I often take comfort in Psalm 67. The psalmist begins by praying for blessing. The psalmist ends with that confidence in his soul that the Lord will bless. Oh, trust him, dear brethren. He will bless us. These are days of declension, but who knows? Soon a day of blessing may come. He will bless us. We look out, we see so little. But let us trust him. In Habakkuk 3 verse 17 we read these words, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And what was one of the reasons he could look up and rejoice in the Lord? It was this, because he was trusting in him. That despite the declension, he would turn again and bless. And dear brethren, trust him. Believe in him. And rejoice in what he is going to do. "Yet will I rejoice." But in these days, rejoice, even though we see so little. The Lord is working his purposes out. These are challenging days. Trust in God. Thirdly, in the day of loss, Job, after losing his children and his substance, said this, "The Lord gave and the Lord have taken away." His eye was focused in that dark valley. Dear brethren, trust the Lord in a day of loss. Consider firstly, like with Job, some suffer the loss of children. What a difficult day it was. He lost his children in a day. And some of you have lost children recently. Such a hard providence. One of the hardest things a mother has to go through, and a father. And the tears flow, and the pain is felt within. Lean on your beloved, your sympathizing high priest. It may be in the future, maybe in the next few years, you lose some children. I pray you don't. But if you do, can I encourage you this morning to trust the Lord? Some of you have lost children as little infants. Some lose children in the womb. The anticipation was there, but then the sadness in the heart comes. trust the Lord. That little one is so missed, but that little one shines in heaven and rejoices in Christ and what he did upon the cross. It's so amazing, isn't it? There's so many little ones in heaven rejoicing in the precious blood of Jesus, shining in that place. David believed it. In light of the death of his little child, he believed he would see his little one again. I shall go to him, 2 Samuel 12, verse 23. And can I say this very carefully? Unlike what some believe, he wasn't just thinking of the body. He was thinking of the soul of his little one. And he was in anticipation of seeing him. He was trusting in the Lord. Samuel Rutherford wrote to a lady who lost a child concerning the little daughter. She is not sent away, but only sent before thee, like unto a star, which going out of our sight doth not die and vanish, but shineth in another hemisphere. We see her not, yet she doth shine in another country. If you've lost little ones, you trust the Lord. It's hard, but you trust him. Your little one is shining in heaven and rejoicing in Jesus, saved by the precious blood of Jesus. Trust the Lord when there's loss. It may be somebody you've lost who is a little older. You trust the Lord. You look to him. In 1873, a certain businessman was planning, along with his family, to visit Europe. Being delayed by business concerns, he sent his family ahead on an ocean liner. Mid-ocean, the ship was struck by another ship and quickly sank down to the bottom. Many were drowned, including four daughters of this businessman. His wife survived the wreck and sent a telegram back saying, "Saved alone." He lost his daughters. The husband boarded a ship to join his wife. He asked the captain of the ship to point out the location of the wreck, the place where his daughters had gone down on the ship. And when he came to that place, he stood on the deck and he considered the terrible thing that had happened. But after that, he wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." In a day of loss, can you look up? Though you may be so crying, can you say, "It is well for my soul, it is well"? Well, we thought of the loss of children. Think of the loss of substance. You consider what Job lost. He lost his sheep, his camel, his oxen. And what did he say? "The Lord gave and the Lord have taken away." Sometimes we suffer loss and it can be so difficult. Financial burdens come your way. The boiler's gone wrong and so has the car. How many of us have been troubled with cars? I remember when I first passed my driving test, I drove my car into the car park at the church at Totten Evangelical Free Church. And my Sunday school teacher, which happens to be Pastor Yates' mother, said this to me: "Well, well done. And now you'll be poor, Aaron." How often we have had burdens, financial burdens. Something gone wrong. The car's gone wrong. The bills come in and the account is empty. Trust the Lord. He will provide. What did Elijah say to the widow of Zarephath, who thought she was about to eat her last meal and die? "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for my son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrow of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." You see, there was want. And Elijah seeks to encourage that widow to trust the Lord. And dear brethren, if you find yourselves in the future in great need, and you're wondering how you're going to afford this, trust the Lord who has said he will provide all your needs. Trust him, dear brethren. Oh, it's a precious thing to trust him in view of the practical things in life. Fourthly, in the veil of sickness, trust God, dear brethren. Your sickness was no surprise to the Lord. You recall the Apostle Paul with the thorn in the flesh. He besought the Lord. He looked to him. He prayed that it might be taken away. But we see him there further exercising faith and rejoicing in the grace of God. He had that thorn in the flesh. He looked to the Lord and he trusted him. You may enter a veil of sickness. It may be the Lord will bring you through that veil of sickness. Or it may be the Lord will so impress it upon you. What you're going to have particularly is grace to help you at this time. Trust him for his all-sufficient grace. It may be a loved one has become ill. You remember Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus, John 11, verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. A loved one is sick. It's not easy for the one who's struggling through that veil of sickness, but it's not easy also for the loved one who looks on. It can be very serious, and there may be no hope of recovery. Cry to the Lord. Trust in him. Trust him. He will support you. His grace is all sufficient. A number of years ago, one of my daughters was coming out of hospital. She had had meningitis, and the rest of my family were in hospital as well. And I had to go and get some clothes one afternoon for my daughter that was coming out and for the rest of the family that were in different hospitals. And I went up into the top room, and I saw the wash pile, and I tried to get some clothes together. And I was quite cast down. The whole family had been suffering. But then I suddenly stopped and I said this, there is nothing else, O Lord, to do but trust thee. And I found that one of the most precious times in my life. I would not want my children to suffer in that way again and the whole of my family. But I am so thankful for what God taught me in that valley of sickness. Dear brethren, there is nothing else we can do. But trust the Lord in the veil of sickness. When you're suffering yourself, look to him. If you look on a loved one and you're struggling, it's so hard. Trust in the Lord. He's your sympathizing friend. He's the one that sticketh closer than a brother. Trust him, dear brethren. He has a purpose. Often reminded of those words in John 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And dear brethren, that is one of the purposes of sickness, for the glory of the Lord. Consider that this morning, for the glory of the Lord, you trust him. You trust him that he will be glorified through this veil of sickness. You trust him despite the heartache that you so feel, that he will be glorified. Tell him your struggles. Pray to him on every step of the journey through the veil of sickness. Fifthly, in the night of darkness, you consider David here, he's in the cave. It's dark. Sometimes it seems so dark in our lives. Maybe in the church situation. It's hard. What's going on? maybe a personal situation, and providence is dark and mysterious. Things are not plain to you, and you're confused. It's not how you thought it would be. Maybe things were going well, but then suddenly something arises and you don't understand, and it's dark. Which way, Lord, now? Is someone at that point this morning? Which way, Lord, now? There's one way. It's up, looking to him, dear brethren. In the dark, we need to trust our guide. When we cannot see our way, trust him who is the light of the world and who by his counsel will lead you home to glory. Trust him in the darkness. Isaiah 50 verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Isaiah is addressing a God-fearer there. So when we think of the darkness, it's the darkness of affliction. What a path it can be. Well, if you're treading down a dark path, a path of affliction, and you can't see your way, trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon the Lord your God. Lean on him. When it gets darker, lean more on your beloved Redeemer. Lean on him, dear brethren. He will bring you through the darkness. Lean on your guide. Thomas Watson writes, the providences of God are sometimes dark and our eyes dim, and we can hardly tell what to make of them. But when we cannot unriddle providence, let us believe that it will work together for the good of the elect. It's dark. Look up to him. Trust him. He will bring you through that dark time. Well, we face many afflictions. We've touched on a few this morning. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. We must move on more briefly and we'll draw to a close. Secondly, encouragements to trust God. Encouragements to trust God. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. He prays. He looks to the Lord, and as he's looking to the Lord, he's mindful of God's mercy. Be merciful unto me. He's thinking of mercy, and he pleads for it. Firstly, it's an encouragement then for us to trust the Lord when we consider God's mercy. Psalm 116, verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. He is, dear brethren. You look back and you have learned by experience. He is so merciful to you in affliction. Consider him now. He is merciful. What an encouragement to trust him then. He's rich in mercy. Ephesians 2 verse 8. There's no limit to his mercy. It will never be exhausted. We all need it, dear brethren. There's plenty of mercy for us. And it's eternal. Psalm 103 verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. How humbling that is when we think of that. It's on us, dear brethren. All the afflictions you have to face from this moment till glory, you can be assured of mercy. That mercy is awaiting you, for his mercy is eternal. And are we not thankful for that? When the next trial comes, you can be encouraged to trust him because of his abundant mercy. He has at this moment such a heart so full of compassion. He sees you treading through the veil of sickness. His heart is full. You consider again your high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we have not a high priest which was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Consider him. Go to him. Trust him. You will obtain mercy. Mercy awaits, and dear brethren, mercy will be found. Or as you admire the mercy of God this morning, be encouraged to trust him. Secondly, God's providence. Come with me to verse 2. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He performs all things for me. We think of the Hebrew word it speaks of to bring to an end. We're thinking of the sense of completion, to perfect. Where we trace the providence of God in our lives. Like the psalmist, we say in Psalm 138, verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He has a purpose. He will bring things to completion for your good, and he will bring you home. He's performing. What a comfort that is. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. All things, dear brethren. That dark pathway, that veil of affliction, that furnace of adversity, God will use and God will bring you through. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. You are the apple of his eye, and he delights to perform. He delights to perfect. You trust him in view of his providence. Nothing is left short, dear brethren. Unto God that performeth all things for me. All things are completed for our good and in accordance with his purpose and promises. You know those well-known words. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things. Therefore, dear brethren, trust him in the deepest valley. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will. He will perform all things. In his providence, he will lead and guide you. He will govern and provide for you. Trust him, dear brethren. Providences may seem dark and mysterious, but all is clear to the Lord. You trust him who sees you getting to the end of the veil of affliction. Thirdly, God's power. You notice the end of verse 1. Until these calamities be overpassed. He's believing he will get through this time of affliction. Why? Because of the power of God. Come with me to the third verse. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. You see, he's resting in the power of God. He's trusting that the Lord will come to his aid. Help will come from heaven. And dear brethren, help is already on the way for you. Underneath are the everlasting arms, and further help will come. We thought earlier of his mercy, which is eternal. Well, because of his mercy and grace, and in his almighty power, help will come. Help from heaven. What an encouragement to trust God. In light of the power of God, rest in him. We thought earlier of these days of declension. I said to my congregation last Wednesday, God is able to turn things around overnight. He is of almighty power. We have a great God, dear brethren, on our side. Remember Asa in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11, he cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. See there, Asa, he's looking to the Lord. It's nothing with thee to help and to brethren. It's not, is it? He's able to help us in affliction. That trial you are facing, because of his almighty power, you will be brought through it. Take comfort, dear brethren. What a God we have, who so loves us, who so cares for us, who in his almighty power will support and will deliver. There may be difficulties in front of you. The Lord is able to bring you through those difficulties. I'm often impressed with those words in Psalm 18, verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. When I was at school, I was no good at the high jump. My wife was good at the high jump, being tall, but not me. I could never get over the bar. There may be a wall in front of you. God is able to send you over the wall. By my God have I leaped over a wall. You may have been in straits, as you see in Psalm 46. The pathway was getting narrower. The walls were getting higher. But how many times the Lord has brought you through? You've overleaped a wall. What a great God we have. And then fourthly, another encouragement to trust the Lord. God's presence. Now come back with me to verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. He speaks of the Lord being a refuge. And when we particularly look at the Hebrew word, it speaks of fleeing for refuge, to confide in, to put one's trust in. Well, consider the psalmist. He's fled to the Lord. He's near the Lord. And though he's in this dark cave, he knows the presence of the Lord. Dear brethren, the Lord goes with us. He goes with us into the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. One may struggle in a valley, and one may be struggling in the last valley. But the Lord's people can take comfort. The Lord is there with them. Dear brethren, you are not alone in the affliction. Maybe one of you, you're in the school and you're struggling. Your faith is in the Lord. Take comfort, you're not alone. Maybe in the workplace, you're on your own. And it's so hard, people being so unkind to you. Remember one who stands at your side. What a blessing, dear brother. He who is so holy goes with us. He's with us in the valley. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Whilst travelling through the waters of trial, whilst wading through the rivers of difficulties, whilst standing in the fire of adversity, the Lord is with you. Sometimes we don't always sense it. But he is there with you. The affliction you are facing at this moment, you have a friend alongside you who stands with you. Is not his presence an encouragement to trust him? You may say, well, there's times when I don't sense his presence. Well, think of his presence and still trust him. He's David, he's fled for refuge. He's fled to the Lord, and he's resting in him, and he's encouraged to pray because he feels the presence of the Lord. Now we must close. Thirdly and finally, trusting God for the end of affliction. Trusting God for the end of affliction. Did you notice the end of verse 1? Until these calamities be overpassed. Verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. In this dark cave, he's looking to the future. And dear brethren, because of our precious Redeemer, who loved us so much that he gave himself for us, we can look to the future and know he will bring us through. We can look to a better day. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He will. Maybe some afflictions he'll deliver you from here upon earth, but he'll deliver you from every affliction, dear child of God, at the point of death. The Puritan Thomas Adams wrote, "Be our troubles many in number, strange in nature, heavy in measure, yet God's mercies are more numerous, his wisdom more wondrous, his power more miraculous. He will deliver us out of them all. The storm will pass." This day of declension, I believe, in light of Romans, will give way to a day of blessing. The storm will pass. The deep valley will come to an end. The desired haven will be reached. Psalm 107, verse 30, "Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven." You've all got a desired haven, dear brethren, haven't you? Maybe a place of calm after trial here upon earth. And you know, if you look back in your lives, how many times, dear brethren, the Lord has brought us to a desired haven. But then we have another desired haven, don't we? Glory above. He will bring you to that place. You will get to the end of your afflictions, dear brethren. They will be behind you one day. They will be the former things, as we read in Revelation 19. What a wonderful thought. When all our afflictions will be behind us, what a moment it will be when we leave this world. Just think of it, dear brethren. We will see the Lord, our Redeemer, our Almighty Deliverer. What are we going to say to him? Who's going to speak first? It's going to be the Lord, because we'll be lost for words. We'll see him. He'll wipe away all tears. And then we'll have that comfort. All our trials are behind us now. What an amazing thought, dear brethren. The end is in view here. "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed." Dear brethren, one day they'll all be overpassed. And you'll never be troubled again by affliction. You'll never cry again. You'll never mourn again. All your trials will be past. Dear brethren, can we not trust God on the journey? He knows all things. He knows that one day, dear brethren, you will be rejoicing in perfection, in glory above. He sees it. Can we not trust him till we get there? Dear brethren, keep looking unto Jesus. Keep leaning on your guide. Keep resting in the Lord. Trust him. Exercise faith until you see him. Dear brethren, we have one who will help us in affliction. Like with David, let's flee for refuge. I flee to thee. Let's keep telling the Lord, "I'm coming, Lord, in this storm. Thou art the one I need, and I am trusting thee." And in closing, can I say this? Have we not proved the blessing of trusting Jesus? We can be at our wit's end, as we see in Psalm 107. But then, like with those sailors, we turn And we cry unto the Lord. Spurgeon says this, though they were at their wit's end, they had wit enough to pray. They turn to the Lord, and we turn to the Lord, and we trust him. What a blessing to be at the feet of Jesus. Whatever your affliction is this hour, or in this season of your life, look to Jesus now. Look to your captain, who will see you through. Amen.